I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you for being with me today. I'm super excited to talk about today's topic because we're going to be talking all about gratitude for this hour, and what a great way to start out the week. Today we're speaking with Nina Lisowitz. She is the co-author of the book, The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. And she co-authored the book with Mary Beth Sammons. And I'll just tell you a little bit about Nina. She's an award-winning marketing professional who runs Spinergy Group, which represents authors, corporate clients, and nonprofits. And she co-authored this book as well as the best-selling Living Life as a Thank You and What Would You Do If You Knew You Could Not Fail? How to Transform Fear into Courage. And she lives in the San Francisco Bay Area with her husband. And again, she co-authored the book with Mary Beth Sammons, who was not able to be here today. So thank you for being on the show. Welcome, Nina. Hello. I'm having trouble hearing you. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Someone pushed the wrong button and now it's all fixed. Presto. I'm grateful that I was able to fix that quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us, what got you and Mary into writing these books?
Oh, okay. Well, back in 2009, we wrote Living Life as a Thank You, as you mentioned, and we interviewed people across the country, people from all walks of life, and a lot of that book was anecdotal, it was personal stories, and then since that time, we have found out that there have been so many scientific studies. There are studies that are taking place right now that are corroborating all of the benefits of gratitude that we had written about. And actually, my own seeking, you know, started a lot earlier than that. Back when my children were young in the 90s and I was going through a divorce and selling my house and working full time, I was looking for some way to stop thinking about the future and worrying and stressing, and I worked at a book publishing company. We published books such as Stopping and Living in Balance and Easy Meditation, and it was so hard for me, though, to embrace those practices because they were so time-consuming. You know what I mean? Like, so I was looking for something that was easier, and at the time, way back when, I read the book Attitudes of Gratitude by Mary Jane Ryan. Are you familiar with that book?
I believe so. Yeah, there's an app for it, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of gratitude apps. So I, on my own, discovered how by getting in touch with what I was grateful for, it just completely turned my attitude around and made such a difference in my life. And then, as I mentioned, I was given the opportunity to co-author the book Living Life as a Thank You in 2009 with Mary Beth Sammons, who lives in Chicago, but was just out here in the Bay Area but we did a book signing together this weekend.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, and there were so many synchronicities. It was amazing.
Ooh, care to share a couple? I love hearing about
synchronicities. Yes, it was absolutely amazing. Well, our publisher came to the book signing, which was in Marin County, and I got there before my co-author, who, as I mentioned, lives in Chicago, and this was her very first time that she came out here that we were able to do a book signing together. And my publisher handed me a catalog and showed me how What Would You Do If You Knew You Could Not Fail is featured in that particular wonderful, beautiful catalog. They sell items, really nice, you know, jewelry and clothing and also books. And so I was very excited. I read the description and I showed it to Mary Beth when she walked in. And then she closed it to look at the cover of this particular gift catalog, and she saw that the name of the catalog is Isabella, and Isabella is her mother's name, and her mother had just passed away a few months ago. And the subtitle of the catalog was With You in Spirit.
Oh, that is the
Isn't
sweetest.
That amazing? Aww. So her sister was there as well, and they both just had tears running down their face because their mother was there at the book signing with us.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing
it
that.
It was. Yeah, I love the name of your radio show.
Thank you. Yeah, I love synchronicities. Woohoo.
Yeah.
It's interesting in the book The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment, there's actually there are stories about loss and injury and death and all of these struggles that all of us go through and finding gratitude in the face of all of that.
Oh, yes. A lot of the stories are about people in crisis. I mean, we include interviews with people who have experienced some of the worst of what life can throw at you, losing a child, getting a diagnosis of cancer, losing your house. But so many of those people found their way to happiness. And what a lot of the people that we talked to said is that gratitude was their lifeline out of despair. Because when they gave thanks for those people who helped carry them through whatever crisis they were going through, and the people that were there to help them to rebuild their lives, they found that their lives improved. So, you know, as we know, you and I know, suffering is often an opportunity for growth. And many of those stories in the book are about how people traveled the path to psychological growth by focusing on blessings instead of curses. And also, as I mentioned, these people were giving thanks to other people. So we've found, and science has confirmed, that social connections are critical to healing and longevity. I mean, people that have strong ties to family, friends, or coworkers have a 50% lower risk of dying over a given period than those with fewer social connections. Mm-hmm. And what I've found personally is one of the best ways to strengthen your connectivity with others is to give thanks for the role that that person plays in your life, or for whatever it is that you're thankful for it, about that other person. That helps to strengthen the connectivity, right?
Totally. Oh, I love in the book how there's a section about gratitude in the workplace and appreciation. I would love to talk about that because there are so many people that I talk to who feel that they are mistreated at work. And it's so easy to give appreciation when someone's doing a good job. But because we're being paid for it, people think, well, that's your thanks.
Right. Oh, that's massive. It turns out that the workplace is where most people feel the least sense of appreciation. But yet, there have been so many studies that show that happiness is one of the major predictors of success in the workplace. Companies with happy workers have 33% higher profitability, according to Gallup, 51% lower turnover, and more productivity, obviously. I mean, these things seem obvious. That's why I love that now there are studies and there are consultants that are going into the workplace to talk to managers to tell them how it's not just a feel-good thing, that actually if your managers do convey appreciation to the employees, it will boost the bottom line. You know, I mean, do you want me to talk about some people who are there's this one woman who is who has studied businesses like, you know, huge companies like Newsweek and Reuters and Macy's and Cisco Systems. And I love these statistics, because what she found is that when organizations responded to employees who are experiencing personal difficulty, you know, in some cases, when these workers receive cards, flowers, financial help, emotional support, or time off from work, they found that those employees who had experienced that type of compassion and support saw themselves, their coworkers, and the organization in a more positive light. But here's what I love is statistics further demonstrated that the employees who simply witnessed that also demonstrated a higher commitment, you know, toward the organization. So, it, you know, isn't that amazing? So it's you can just not only just raise the feel-good factor, but by simply making it a point to show appreciation and support for one employee who's going through hard times, other people will also, it will improve other people's attitude toward the organization.
Absolutely. Well, I love, I've left positions because I've witnessed mistreatment of other employees, and I wasn't even being treated poorly, but it just brought down the morale so much I felt like I had to leave. So I can imagine that the opposite would have a similar effect of other people witnessing it. They would feel that appreciation and know that if they needed appreciation, they would receive it as well. And it goes out into the world. I mean, whatever you put out there is multiplied, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I love the whole concept of the ripple effect and how there have been a lot of articles written about this recently. Yeah, you're absolutely right that, I mean, let's see, there was a study published in the British Medical Journal. Scientists from Harvard and UC San Diego showed that happiness spreads through social networks of family members, friends, and neighbors. And knowing somebody who is happy makes you much more likely to be happy yourself. And that even a happy friend increases your odds of happiness. But even your neighbor's sister's friend can give you a 5.6% boost.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, this physician and sociologist at Harvard who co-wrote the study said that your emotional state is affected by the actions of choices of other people, many of which you don't even know. So there's a complete ripple effect. So, you know, when we talk about, as you mentioned, we're coming into Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving week. This isn't just about, and this book is all about how we can transform our own personal lives and Thanksgiving is all about being around your friends and family. But I love the fact that it's so much bigger than that. Like in the workplace, these changes that are starting to take place has the potential to affect millions and millions of people's lives worldwide. And then, you know, the ripple effect just goes to show you that this isn't just something that we're doing for ourselves. We're helping to change the world in a way. It's just, it's so huge.
Woohoo. Okay. Well, I love what you said about how other people are affecting us. But now the thing is, we can't control the behavior of others. So what can we do if we're not around happy people? How can we become that catalyst for gratitude?
How can we become that catalyst? Basically, what I suggest is that people throughout the day, they work on transforming their thoughts. And a neuroscientist say that we tend to have a negativity bias. So I think that's like back from the caveman days when we were scanning for threats. And So the thing is that, you know, a lot of people think that it's natural to always think about what's going wrong or what there is to complain about. It's very easy to grumble and complain, and then what happens quite often, and probably particularly in the workplace, is that you start complaining, and then the other person tries to out-complain you. Well, I think that when you start to practice gratitude throughout the day and you start to transform your thoughts from negative ones to positive ones, what you're doing is you're really, you know, shifting your thinking. And you don't have to respond to the negative. You don't have to, some people say that might be really hard to do that, but I think that over time it will start to help the people that you're around who aren't thinking, who aren't on that same path.
Okay, Nina, I just had an idea. If you have, like, if you have a mean manager or something, like someone grumpy, and they're, it can be hard to find the appreciate mean people, but maybe you could think of one thing that you could, even if it's a stretch, one thing that you could appreciate about them. Like, I really appreciate how you always keep us on task, or something like that. And then maybe that mean person would feel better and be nicer to you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Of course. That's exactly what this whole process is about. Yeah, is about noticing and appreciating something. And then when you share it with someone, it in turn comes back to you. And so there's that. And then if that, let's say that person doesn't change and it continues, you can also be grateful for the experience, because we learn from these types of, we learn perhaps that that's not the way we want to be. Or it helps us to grow, to rise above it. So there's always something to be grateful for.
Okay, but being grateful for someone giving me something to complain about probably isn't the best thing to be grateful for, right?
Well, you can just be grateful that you have a tool that, you know, you don't have to be that way.
Awesome. Well, Nina, do you have a website?
Yeah, we have a website. It's called thegratefullifebook.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, it's time for a break, so we'll be back in just a moment. We are speaking right now with Nina Lisowitz. She is the co-author, along with Mary Beth Sammons, of the book The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. And again, it's thegratefullifebook.com if you want to check out their website. And my website is spiritualshow.com. You can also find episodes on youtube.com/spiritualshow. If you want to check that out, I'm sending people there because I have over 1 million viewers now. Last week, I got up to 1 million viewers. So yay, I'm grateful for that. Thank you so much. And we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
This Monday, November 24th, the First Nations Studies Student Association and the Indigenous Studies Student Association have come together to celebrate the season with a holiday gala. We're fundraising for our UBC powwow and launching our First Nations Studies undergraduate journal. Come for our silent auction, a salmon feast, and a great lineup with spoken word, powwow dancing, traditional singing, and acoustic music from the dancers of Donald Muhammad, Rebecca Baker and Nigel Grenier, Kenton Thomas, Molly Billows, Cool Hand Youth, and more. Entry is by donation. See you there this Monday, November 24th at the UBC First Nations Longhouse. Doors are at 5. Haichka, OCM.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening online at cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, or on YouTube as well. So welcome back to the show. We are speaking right now with Nina Lisowitz. She is the co-author of The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. And if you want to share, if you have a burning desire to share what you're grateful for, or maybe you're struggling trying to find how to be grateful for this thing that's going on in your life, feel free to give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Welcome back to the show, Nina.
Thank you.
Woohoo. So
happy to be on.
Let's talk about, there's actually a study. I want to know about your gratitude practice. But first, there was a study about gratitude and depression that you mentioned in the book that was actually, and they even had a placebo group doing something else.
Oh, I know. That's just mind-boggling that there Dr. Martin Seligman at the University of Pennsylvania, he's a pioneer in the positive psychology movements. they found that practicing gratitude is a powerful antidote to depression, that when their patients took time each day to write down three things that went well that day and why they thought so, almost 95% of the people they studied said they felt significantly less depressed 15 days later. But furthermore, their scores on this widely used depression inventory dropped by 50%, which is equivalent to the improvement seen with medication or psychotherapy. That's huge. And then, the people in the placebo control group who wrote down just, you know, three childhood memories each day did not experience an improvement at all in their symptoms. And then that first group, the 95% of the people who felt significantly less depressed, the effects lasted for a full 6 months.
Just from doing 15 days? And then did they continue on through for 6 months, or did they just do the 15 days and then stop?
Well, this is just the results of the study were over the course of 15 days. But yes, it is important. That's a good point. It is important to keep up with it because it is easy for the grumbles to return. In their case, would you consider that an immediate improvement? 15 days is a pretty short time, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's quicker than antidepressants.
Yeah, exactly.
Assuming the antidepressant is even effective.
Yeah, equivalent to the improvement seen with medication.
Mm. That's awesome. I like what you say, because the thing is, like, I've dealt with depression since I was a kid, and I think it was more, some people have a legitimate, like, chemical imbalance in their brain, but a lot of people with depression, I think it's just that habit of, like you said, the negativity bias, and if you had a difficult past or you had some kind of traumatic event, because your brain is so hardwired to see the negative, it can be, it's a habit, right? It becomes a habit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like a negative feedback loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As I mentioned earlier about neuroscientists say that, our brains do that naturally. And so what we need to do, and which is entirely doable, is we need to rewire our brains to think positively. And practicing gratitude helps us change our brain waves from noticing gaps and emissions. Because think about it, when you express a feeling, you amplify it. When you express irritation, you end up getting more irritated. When you express appreciation, you become more grateful. Back to psychology, the Journal of American Psychology did a study, and their study, people who kept a gratitude diary for 9 weeks felt happier and healthier and even exercised more. So, it's great that not only have there been, that there are right now studies taking place about the physical health benefits of gratitude, but also and the workplace, as we discussed, but also in this area of psychology.
Wow.
And mental health.
So even so being grateful, it sounds like, even made it easier to make other healthy choices, like exercising more without having to, because so many times we have to get the willpower to exercise or make a green smoothie or whatever. But when you're choosing healthy thought patterns, it sounds like it makes it just automatically easier to make better choices.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so many. I mean, whenever you see the benefits of gratitude bullet pointed in any study or blog post, they always include that people who are grateful end up exercising more. Huh?
Woohoo! So if you're looking to lose weight, get grateful.
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah, I love it because, what I recently read is that, did you know that only 9% of people actually follow through with their New Year's resolutions?
Oh, I'm surprised
it's
that high.
You know, the statistic was that low.
I'm surprised it's even that high.
I thought maybe it might be a little bit higher. I guess I'm an optimist.
If you've ever been to the gym around February, you see, like, you go in, you got to almost stop going to the gym in January because it's so packed. But then come February, it's back to normal again.
So, right, yeah. Right. So the thing is that so many of what, the most common New Year's resolutions are, I want to exercise more, you know, I want to give back to my community, I want to be more connected, stay in closer touch with people, I want to get more sleep. Well, interestingly, those common New Year's resolutions are all benefits that you can get from practicing gratitude. So in the new year, all you need to do is just resolve to practice gratitude and just, you know, consciously cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And a lot of these other resolutions actually will come as a result.
Awesome. Well, Nina, mm-hmm. I'm curious, what's your typical gratitude practice?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I really do it throughout the day. What I don't simply do, I know that one of the most common recommendations is to write down three things in your journal. Well, I don't think that simply every day, you know, saying, oh, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for my health, and I'm thankful for a roof over my head, is necessarily going to open you up to just a new way of appreciating life. I think that we need to really even just give thanks for the mundane. You know, like when you go to empty out your dishwasher and you're thinking, oh, yet again, it's falling on me to empty out the dishwasher, but instead you give thanks for having a dishwasher. Or if you're in, when I'm in the car and I get stopped at a red light, instead of thinking, oh, goodness, you know, another red light. And what I do instead is I think, I'm so grateful that I live in a country where we have traffic signals. Because I took a trip to India, and no one was paying any attention to the traffic signals. So if you just do that throughout the day, just notice your thoughts and then append them or replace them with a grateful thought, then you'll find that your mood just will completely transform.
Awesome.
It's an easy exercise. It's not something where you need to go, you know, meditate for hours or it doesn't really, you know, take a lot of work.
Mm. I love that. And, you know, you mentioned the dishwasher. And remember, not everyone has a dishwasher. I don't have a dishwasher. So if you have a dishwasher, mm-hmm. you're doing all right. I am thankful.
Well, you need to be thankful for running water.
Exactly. I'm thankful that I have a kitchen and, you know, I do have running water and plenty of hot running water. Last night I was mm-hmm. lying in bed and I couldn't sleep. But I was like, you know, I'm thankful that I have such a comfortable bed. I mean, there are people, even in this country, I walk down the street and I see people sleeping on the street, mm-hmm. on cardboard. And, you know, I'm not super happy with the apartment that I live in, but I have so much to be thankful for. In spite of the fact I don't have a dishwasher, there's plenty of wonderful conveniences that we just take for granted.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole point of consciously cultivating gratitude is about, is that it is so easy to take things for granted. But yet, then we do so many things in which we're all seeking happiness. What is it that we want to be happy at the end of our lives? What really matters? You know, what matters when you're looking back is whether you feel like you really fully experienced life. So if those are the things that we want and that we are striving for, then, you know, we need to just think about, stop right here, right now, and just stop taking everything for granted, you know?
Well, it's interesting. Our brains are really, as far as survival, we're wired for survival. I don't think we're necessarily wired for happiness.
Right.
It's something we have to practice because we have that negativity bias. So we're always looking for what's wrong. And then because our brains are so great at finding shortcuts for everything. So if someone from some country that doesn't have running water came here, they would be like, oh my gosh, like everything here is so sophisticated and so easy. But I bet within 6 months, they'd be back to their normal baseline of wherever they came from. Because they our brains start to automatically, like once something is no longer a novelty, we start taking it for granted.
Right. And so that's the whole point. Exactly. That's why, you know, gratitude isn't just about saying thank you to people who have given you something. It's not just about returning, some people think of it as a place of indebtedness, and then you have to thank somebody. But no, it's all about countering what you just described, countering that, you know, because when you just take everything for granted, it just leaves you with a sense of emptiness. It's like, what's next, right? And we're not saying that you shouldn't always be striving and that you shouldn't set goals and that you shouldn't, I'm not a Buddhist, for instance. I'm not somebody who says that, you know, we should completely eliminate that whole sense of wanting anything. I think all of that is okay, but I think that what we need to do is just express gratitude for what we have, and that can fill up that hole. You know, when you want what you already have, that is the surest route to a feeling of fulfillment and even abundance, when you want what you already have. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, instead of always wishing that something good will happen to us is so that it will make us happy, it actually turns out scientific research shows that it's the other way around. When we're happy, good things happen.
It's so true. It's interesting that and I love interacting with people and giving them compliments or just energetically, like appreciating them with my energy. And I find that when I am more conscious of doing that intentionally, I actually end up, people just are randomly like coming up to me on the street, or I'll walk into a coffee shop and the barista will compliment me as soon as I walk in. And maybe last week I wasn't walking around with the same attitude and no one was complimenting me.
Mm-hmm.
So it just comes off of you, like people feel it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I actually wrote, maybe I can just read a short piece here. In my book, I quote a woman who we interviewed for our book, Living Life as a Thank You, who actually, this might be a little bit too lengthy to read, but it's all about how living in gratitude has become like a game for her, because she asks for things in life and then she watches to see how they magically appear. And it's true when, like you said, people compliment you more. And also, when you just have a positive attitude, I find that it's like a little game with me as well, because when I'm driving, I live, as you mentioned, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's so hard to find parking in San Francisco. But if I approach a place with a positive attitude and think, okay, I'm going to find a parking spot right in front, I usually do. As opposed to people like my husband, who gets all tense and uptight and starts driving around in circles 10 blocks away thinking, oh, you know, there's not going to be any parking, and look at this, there's no parking. And when, you know, isn't that a good example of how when you just think, well, I'm just going to think positively, and then it's like magic. Good things start to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing, because I'm guessing that it's also because your brain, if you're in the habit of looking for what's wrong, you're going to see more of what's wrong. But when you're appreciating, then your brain is open to the opportunities. So you might see that person half a block away who's starting to get in their car, whereas if you were looking for the problem, you'd be looking at, oh, there's no parking spots.
Perfect. Yes. Yes, exactly.
So
that is exactly true.
It's basically just changing your perspective, and then you're able to see this whole other thing that you wouldn't have been able to see before.
Right. Right. It just opens up your eyes. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I've got the eagle eye for free parking. I'm good at that, but I'm gonna look at what other things I can play with because that's fun. I love that. I'd love to talk about, actually, you know what, let's go for a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Right now, we're speaking with Nina Lisowitz. She is the co-author of The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. And you can find them at thegratefullifebook.com or wherever wonderful books are sold. And my name is Marie Bernard. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And you can find me at spiritualshow.com or on my YouTube channel, which is also called Spiritual Show. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Stephen Harper's reckless cuts to home mail delivery are hurting the most vulnerable in our society. Senior citizens and those with mobility issues are disproportionately affected by these cuts, all while Canada Post is making millions of dollars in profit. Postal workers are campaigning to protect quality jobs and public services in our communities. The post office belongs to you. Join the fight today at savecanadapost.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Coming up in about 20 minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific. So stick around for that. Right now we're speaking with Nina Lisowitz. She is the co-author, along with Mary Beth Sammons, of the book The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. Welcome back to the show, Nina.
Thank you.
So we have, I'm going to close the show with a song about gratitude. So we probably have about 15 minutes left. I'm just wondering where you want to take this.
Let's see. Well, I think we've covered quite a lot. And then we didn't talk about gratitude and health. And I just find it absolutely fascinating that there are now scientists and researchers that are doing studies to prove these things that we've been saying for years about the fact that it seems like there is a correlation between thankful people and better health. I went to a gratitude summit that was put on by the Greater Good Science Center in UC Berkeley, and I listened to some of these doctors. Like, for instance, there's a doctor over at Harvard who is doing a study with heart patients, and he found, he presented his preliminary findings that people who, 50% of the people who focused on what they were grateful for after a heart attack versus the other 50% who were focused on the fact that they had had a heart attack and their lives were different, the grateful ones actually healed much faster and were, you know, other studies.
if you see something that you might have in the past found as negative or picked apart, how do you stop yourself and look for the gratitude, or do you?
Well, gratitude is a tool for doing that, but what I finally told myself, now I grew up with a very, very critical father, and I also used to just play that game throughout life about trying to outdo the next person with how much more stressful my life was than their lives, and how, because I thought, well, that'll make people feel sorry for me and that'll make them like me better, you know, and on and on and on. I just spent my entire life doing that. And then in relationships, I just thought that it was my job to help this person change and to point out their flaws, and then finally I just realized, well, you know what, they're not really going to change. I mean, I don't think people change that much. I mean, yes, you can change your way of thinking and you can change your outlook and your activities and your life, but I think that personalities don't change that much. I just decided to accept that he was who he is. You know, he has certain qualities. I can just appreciate, like, for instance, I used to find it annoying because he's from Switzerland, and I thought it was annoying that he was always on time.
Really? That's so funny.
You know, I mean, why do we have to always be on time? But now I appreciate it. So just take a look at qualities like that. I think I one day decided to accept him, to accept that he was different than I am, that our brains work very differently. He works in high tech. I was an English major. I worked in book publishing. You know, I'm a people person. I just decided to say, you know what? He's not going to be as social as I am. He's not going to be as aware of social cues as I am. But so what? He has other things that he does better than I do. And also, the other thing to do is when you accept that, you also are saying, I don't need to get everything out of this one person. I can get it elsewhere. He can continue. He can be himself and do his. He can do what he likes to do, and I can do what I like to do, and I can get it outside the relationship. So acceptance is huge, and as we talked about with gratitude, gratitude is all about appreciating what you already have. So I think that once you start really focusing on being grateful, it also helps you to accept what already is. You're accepting and appreciating what is, as opposed to focusing on what, you know, you perceive to be missing. So it's completely intertwined.
Oh, awesome. Well, Nina, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I'm wondering, is there anything that you'd like to close the show with? Well, first of all, your book is The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. The website is thegratefullifebook.com. And what would you like to end the show with?
Well, we're doing this right before Thanksgiving. So I think that what people should do is they should look at whatever it is that they're doing on Thanksgiving, if they are in fact doing a ritual where they're going around the table and telling people what they're thankful for, or in some cases people turn to the person next to them and talk about why they're grateful for that particular person. I think try and carry those feelings over to the rest of the year. We live in a country, your show probably goes out to internationally as well, right?
Yeah, we're in Canada. We had our Thanksgiving, but it's a good reminder. So,
that's so
okay.
Obnoxious.
There's lots
oh,
of America. There's
I
lots of American listeners.
Yes, I do know that about Canadians, and I do a lot of traveling. Yes, well, whether you're Canadian, American, I mean, we both share the highest standard of living in the world. And we have so much abundance, but even people that have nothing people who don't even have enough to eat, when they give to others, they actually, it ramps up their happiness quotient, which is just fascinating. So I think we can really learn from people who don't have as much as we do. And also just we need to look at what we do have and give thanks throughout the year, not just when we're celebrating Thanksgiving in our respective countries or actually it's a universal thing. There's so much as so many religions actually have as their central tenet to be thankful. So it is a very universal teaching. However, it's something that we do need to do outside of church and outside of this one particular day of observance here in the U.S. Coming up. Do it all year.
All right. Well, thank you, Nina. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm thankful for the work you do.
Oh, and I'm so thankful for the work you do. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for writing The Grateful Life, or co-authoring The Grateful Life.
Yeah, thank you again.
All right, okay. Happy Thanksgiving. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
So that was Nina Lisowitz. She is the co-author of The Grateful Life, The Secret to Happiness and the Science of Contentment. And it's full of stories and inspiration around gratitude, as well as some wonderful gratitude practice ideas, lots of different things to think about and keep in mind. And you can find more information at thegratefullifebook.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And if you found inspiration in this show, please share it. Giving to others helps us feel better about ourselves as well. So thank you again. And you can check me out at spiritualshow.com. Coming up in just a moment here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific. Stick around for that. I'm going to close the show with The Grateful Song by my good friend, the lovely Surya Devi. Be well. Namaste.
Namaste. This is a very special song. The original chorus, I believe, comes direct from source, of course, as does the whole song, as does everything. But through a lovely man named Andrew Luisi, spiritarian.com,